This is a Guardian TV story by Sylvia, read by Sef, S-E-F, entitled The Dixing Lord's Virgin Captive, a romance of ancient Dixing set to writing by a gentleman of noble lineage. No archive warnings apply. Summary: a new romance genre takes Dragon City by storm. Sheng Wei does not approve, and Zhao Yunlan is both ruthless and cunning. Chapter 1 begins with a quote from the novel The Dixing Lord's Virgin Captive. The selection is titled The Master of Night. Quote: his presence was like an ocean swell of power, felt long before he entered the room. Every eye turned to watch him stride through the dragon gate, his midnight cloak swirling back from his muscular shoulders. His fabled weapon was unsheathed, and people gasped to see the deadly, gleaming arch of steel in his hand as he swept by. Even the supplicants who had never before seen him knew immediately that it was indeed he, the High Lord of Dixing, the heir of darkness and master of night, the undisputed ruler of this realm, the one warrior against whom the armies of the world of light had never been able to stand. When his night-dark phoenix eyes fell on the bound maiden, who had been forced to her knees before his onyx throne, she gasped as she felt the deep, instinctive yearning to yield rise into her breast, her natural feminine desire to surrender to a dominant man's masterful, commanding touch. But no, she could not. However much this man's overwhelming virility battered her untried defenses, she must not give in. She was the guardian of her people, and their fate depended upon her. End quote. Chapter 1. Look, all I'm saying is it's a dick move to run off to Dixing alone. The strident voice drifting across campus stopped Sheng Wei in his tracks. I am so over his high-handed Lord of Dixing shit at this point. After everything they've been through, he still thinks he gets to decide for the both of them? A student with a huge stack of books nearly ran into him, and they both murmured absent apologies as Sheng Wei changed course. If you'd heard correctly, and he had, the speaker was on the far side of the botany building, near the greenhouse. The best option? He's a protector, and he's Dixing's rightful ruler and their best warrior, too. So yeah, he has to go by himself. And of course he has to go alone. It's not like he can take a Haixing leader to the palace. That'd be like a political... said Sheng Wei forebodingly. The two women ensconced on the bench next to the lily pond jumped in surprise. A half-empty lunchbox nearly slid off the knees of the one on the left, and she hastily scrambled to catch it. Both women had entirely failed to react to the dark energy surge of a portal opening up mere meters from their perch, and neither now gave any sign of recognition or apprehension as Sheng Wei stepped closer. No traces of dark energy lingered around them either. If they were not from Dixing and didn't know who he was, perhaps this was something other than what he had initially assumed. Professor? Ventured the short-haired woman on the right. It sounded like a guess. We're on our lunch break. We're sorry if we were too loud. Sheng Wei gathered in his energy, rounded his shoulders, and found a mildly apologetic smile, adjusting his glasses for good measure. Pardon me for interrupting. I couldn't help but overhear. The women relaxed immediately, relieved of the fear of inadvertent wrongdoing. Are you studying ancient literature? I wasn't aware of any courses currently on the curriculum that discuss those particular legends. And he would most definitely have been aware, had there been any. Oh, no, we were just talking about a novel, said the one who'd spoken before. She was fidgeting a little, glancing at her companion, as though in search of moral support. It's not for university. I mean, we just like it. He waited out their reluctance with another mild smile. Finally, the quiet one gave in and pulled a thick paperback from her backpack, ducking her head as she held it out to him with obvious reluctance. The author's actually really popular, her friend jumped in nervously. I mean, obviously it's not great literature or anything, but... Shenwei snatched the book from the woman's hand, barely registering her startled squeak. The Dixing Lord's Virgin Captive, the title screamed in garish golden letters. The cover depicted a bare-chested man wearing a hooded black cloak, a mask chased with silver, and thigh-high boots over extremely tight leather trousers. He held a swooning woman clad in equally impractical attire in one arm and brandished a sword with his free hand. The woman was clutching a lollipop, and both figures were buffeted by particularly dramatic gales of wind as streams of lava flowed past their feet. I'm afraid I'll have to confiscate this publication, Shenwei managed, sounding slightly strangled in his own ears. Or, as Zhao Yunlan might say, what the ever-loving fuck? Chapter 2 also begins with a quote from The Dixing Lord's Virgin Captive. The selection is titled The Flower of Haixing. Quote, the maiden warrior was unaware of her own allure as she fought to brace her sword in the muddy, battle-torn ground and push herself to her knees. Her light leather armor had been scored by numerous hits during the battle and was torn from one shoulder. The soft, heather-gray tunic she wore beneath had come undone, revealing the creamy skin of her arm and shoulder, and even the tempting curve of one firm, perfect breast. Her lithe figure was willowy rather than voluptuous, and all the more tempting for it, with a slim, flexible waist and endlessly long legs that many a man had dreamed of having wrapped around his waist as she panted beneath him in a wanton surrender she had, in truth, never yet granted any man. Her cropped ebony hair perfectly framed her fiery, flashing eyes. Her brows had the shape of fine willow leaves, and her proud, defiant spirit shone from her wild grin even as her enemies surrounded her. No, she would not be taken easily. End quote. Chapter 2. What the ever-loving fuck was Zhao Yunlan's initial assessment, soon amended to the flower of Haixing, and okay, just in case one of you guys thinks this is funny, I'm looking at you, Lin Jing. Let me remind you about the work exchange program and that the position under Director Zhao is still open. This is a serious breach of security and we're putting a stop to it ASAP. Got it? Snap to it. We don't have all day. He then proceeded to storm into his office, close the blinds, and laugh until tears were running down his cheeks. Zhao Yunlan, said Shenwei ominously. Zhao Yunlan chortled and wheezed a bit longer, but ultimately collected himself and began to look around for a tissue. Shen Wei gave him his handkerchief and was rewarded with a quick smile. All good now. And I do know this isn't a laughing matter. Honest. Even if it is hilarious. In truth, Shen Wei could not begrudge Zhao Yunlan the refuge of humor. It was better to appreciate the ridiculousness of this situation than dwell on its immensely transgressive nature. He leafed through the book again as Zhao Yunlan dabbed at his eyes and found a lollipop to compose himself. The parallels between the black-cloaked envoy and the so-called Master of Night could conceivably have been explained by in-depth research of old legends and historical sources. The novel's protagonist was a masked Dixing lord wearing a hooded cloak. He carried a weapon that was sometimes a longsword, sometimes a curved dao, and sometimes a guandao. He was a warrior turned reluctant ruler and dreamed of achieving peace by means of a treaty with Haixing. None of this was proof positive that Shen Wei himself had been the author's template. But then there was the love interest. Even on cursory examination, the female protagonist was an appalling character. She was described in a consistently prurient manner, was the subject of numerous asides concerning other characters' sexual fantasies, and appeared to lose every shred of composure and competence the instant she clapped eyes on the Master of Night. But despite all of this, her resemblance to Zhao Yunlan was unmistakable. From her physical description to her role as the guardian of her people, down to the fact she was frequently described as sucking on a long candy. There was no plausible alternate explanation for the flower of Haixing. Shen Wei, Zhao Yunlan approached, standing close enough that his energy pushed gently against Shen Wei's. It shone with concern, affection, and sincerity, and Shen Wei reached out to it immediately, making no attempt to resist its call. He had long since become addicted to the way Zhao Yunlan's bright, gentle warmth seeped into all the dark corners of his soul. "Are you okay?" Zhao Yunlan was frowning slightly, giving Shen Wei his most intent gaze. "I know it's a lot. Don't worry, we'll put a stop to this very quickly. In Linjing, we'll make sure we never miss anything like it again." Not long ago, Shen Wei would immediately have reassured Zhao Yunlan he was perfectly all right and never considered the truthfulness of the answer. Now he had learned to give Zhao Yunlan's question the consideration his genuine concern deserved. "I am unsettled," he said after a long moment. Zhao Yunlan's energy pressed closer immediately, protective and comforting. "You should not be subjected to such things." Zhao Yunlan quirked his eyebrows. "Hazard of the job. An unexpected one, granted, but all in a day's work for the beauteous guardian of Haixing." It was true enough. Shen Wei did not have to like it, however. "Definitely not the ideal way to bring the Dixing people back from the realm of legends, huh?" Zhao Yunlan trailed an absent touch along Shen Wei's back as he stepped away, thoughtfully shifting the lollipop in his mouth. Shen Wei could almost taste sugar and artificial flavorings on his own tongue. "Let's go pick up some research material. Time to see exactly what we're dealing with." Chapter 3 begins with a quote from a different romance novel called Surrender to Darkness. The selection is titled Lord Darkness and the Maiden Sentinel. Quote, "Surrender to me," he demanded, the fever in his blood burning in his eyes like the scorching magma that oozed through the eternal darkness of his home. "I must possess you. Only surrender and I will lay two worlds at your feet and keep you always by my side and in my bed." He had never been so much the indomitable ruler, and she shivered with helpless desire. The core of her womanhood flowed molten and hot, and nothing could stop the abandoned moan that tore from her as he pressed his knowing touch deeper into her secret places, parting the petals of her fragrant flower as expertly as she had known he would. "Take off your mask, then," she whispered, her voice as fragile as her faltering virtue. "Let me see your face, my lord." For even now, tied trembling to the bed of her dishing warrior lord, spread open on his ravishingly skillful fingers, her maidenly treasures laid bare to be plundered without mercy. Even now, she was as ruthless and cunning as she was enthralling. And she knew well that no man, not even this one, much as she might wish it so, could be allowed to possess her. End quote. Li Nianzhen, the author of The Dixing Lord's Virgin Captive, had published 7 novels in the space of less than a year. A table near the bookstore's entrance presented temptingly arranged piles of his most recent publications, Whips at Sunset and The Dixing General's Disobedient Bride. Guarded by the life-sized cardboard figure of a man wearing a mask, a hooded cloak, a moody scowl, and not much else. As Zhao Yunlan charmed a variety of browsing romance readers, several sales assistants, and finally the store manager, morbid fascination repeatedly drew Shunwei's gaze back to the Master of Darkness as he glowered down at interested shoppers. Realism was obviously not a priority for anyone involved in this venture, but even so, who thought it was a good idea for the romantic hero to eschew shirts at all costs? He looked like a buffoon who'd never learned to dress himself. Not to mention that his hair was evidently animated by an ability that caused it to fly wildly around his bare shoulders and chest, even despite the hood. Also, his stance was unbalanced, and if he attempted to use his sword with a grip like that, he'd be likely to... "Shunwei? A hand?" Zhao Yunlan, Shunwei, and 3 employees carried the store's entire stock of Dixing romances to the car. They had to make several trips. Back at the SID, Chu Shuja managed to look Shunwei in the eye long enough to deliver a nod of sober, staunch support. Most of Zhao Yunlan's team had achieved carefully neutral expressions at this point, though Zhu Hong seemed to be vying with the Master of Darkness to see who could deliver the fiercest scowl. Everyone received a full set of Lin Yanzhen's works, and they buckled down to assess the situation. From A Dixing Conqueror's Secret to Wild Nights in Darkness, all of the novels took place in a twisted fantasy version of the past, in which Dixing was a powerful underground kingdom at war with various kingdoms of Haixing. The books all starred the same pair of protagonists, thinly disguised by varying names and titles. They were always immediately recognizable as twisted fantasy versions of Shunwei and Zhao Yunlan. If one believed these books, Dixing was populated entirely by oversexed noblemen who alternately abducted, rescued, took captive, or were forced into political marriages with cunning and beautiful Haixing maidens. Inevitably, the two fell into a stormy love affair, ruining a great many garments in the process. The maiden was always tied up for a good portion of the book, her clothes strategically ripped. The lord invariably gave himself up to his enemies and was usually whipped for his trouble. Neither of the protagonists possessed the slightest measure of common sense, and both were dramatic in the manner of toddlers throwing a tantrum. Every single novel was appallingly written. This was far from the main issue, but to Shen Wei, it felt oddly, like adding insult to injury. Chapter 4 begins with a quote from the novel, His Dixing Highness Wayward Prize. The selection is entitled The Enlightened Gentleman of Noble Lineage. Quote, though he was dressed as a simple bookseller, a profound aura of wisdom and sophistication marked every line of the stranger's face. His eyes were curved perfectly, rare intelligence shining from every incisive glance. Although he was no longer a young man, his brow held the pale glory of the moon, and though he wore a beard and large-brimmed hat, these adornments could not conceal the nobility of his features, stamped as they were with both rare refinement and classic masculine beauty. All who beheld him were immediately struck by his presence and instinctively understood that here was someone who comprehended the true workings of the world, and might, if he chose, direct and guide them far more wisely than their own limited understanding would permit. End quote. Chapter 4. Said the regent nervously. How very peculiar! My lord envoy, my lord guardian, I assure you, I am completely in the dark. I shall go and inquire who these authors' copies are intended for. Shen Wei did not say anything. He didn't have to. The energy-infused blade he extended into the regent's path spoke more loudly than words could have. At first, Zhao Yunlan did not say anything either. Instead, he sauntered insouciantly through the throne room, seeming lost in thought as he inspected the magma channels, the braziers, and the decorative banister of the stairs leading up to the throne. Long moments passed before he turned to amble over to the crate the regent's minions had brought to the palace. The regent had already opened it, revealing a large number of hardcover copies of Hearts Under Siege, a romance of ancient Dixing. By the time Zhao Yunlan picked up one of the books, the regent was sweating. He threw Shen Wei a beseeching look. Shen Wei stared him down with stoic immovability. Interesting situation we find ourselves in, isn't it? Zhao Yunlan studied the cover for a moment before holding it up for Shen Wei's inspection. This particular work featured a willowy woman with short hair and a reckless grin, brandishing an almost, but not entirely anachronistic gun, as a brooding figure in a hooded cloak lurked shirtlessly behind her. Lin Yanjun, huh? Under the circumstances, I can't help but feel that belief in truthfulness seems a little sarcastic. Zhao Yunlan made a mock dubious face as he flipped the book over, making a show of reading the back. The regent scraped another low bow to each of them in turn, complete with ingratiating smile. My lords, I do wish that I could shed some light on the matter. As you know, I'm ever eager to assist in all of your exceedingly worthy endeavors. If you will permit me to invest... Calmly, Zhao Yunlan hurled the book into the nearest brazier. The sound rang out high and clear, sharp as the crack of a whip, and in the same instant, the regent leaped towards the brazier with an inarticulate sound of protest, dark energy reaching out fruitlessly. In the silence after the clang of impact had faded, the quiet sizzling crackle of burning paper seemed deafening. "We're here to discuss your work, my lord regent." Every trace of indolence had fallen from Zhao Yunlan, shrugged off in the manner of a well-worn, concealing cloak. He fixed the regent with a sharp, no-nonsense gaze. "There are issues. For one thing, your depiction of female characters is offensive on every possible level. For another, what reasonable warrior would wear a cloak but no shirt?" At times, Shunwei suspected that he had reached the absolute zenith of what it was possible to feel for another person. And then, invariably, Zhao Yunlan would do something like this and prove him wrong. Shunwei was grateful that the regent's gaze was locked on Zhao Yunlan just then. He needed a moment to calm his surging energy and to catch his breath. A great many things could be said about the regent, but he was not a fool. He switched tactics in the blink of an eye, turning to straighten into a virtuous pose with his hands folded neatly in front of his stomach. "It is a hobby," he said, nearly as calmly as Zhao Yunlan. His face was smooth and unperturbed, but his energy was now drawn in tight, revealing his tension. "People with stressful occupations benefit greatly from hobbies. You should try it, my Lord Guardian." "I had hoped for my pastime to remain private, but since it has come out, I see no reason to prevaricate. It is, after all, entirely unobjectionable, meaning that I must strenuously protest this invasion of privacy?" Zhao Yunlan hissed and shook an admonishing finger at the regent. "Fancy you mentioning that." The next moment, he'd pulled out a page ripped from a book and was clearing his throat dramatically. "Her loose limbs sprawl across his bed was a graceful invitation he could not afford to accept, though his loins had long since caught fire. 'I am the paladin of Hai Xing,' she declared, and he could not tear his fevered gaze away from her lush lips as she sucked seductively on the long candy she favored. 'I protect my people from yours. Underestimate me at your own peril, for I assure you that I am both ruthless and cunning. You will not ravish my people while I still breathe. Yet, were you to ravish me, my lord, I know well that I could not resist your touch.'" The regent had already opened his mouth when he caught a glimpse of Shunwei's face and audibly snapped it shut again. Had you been content to circulate these writings among your acquaintances, that would have been one thing, Shunwei said darkly. Quite possibly a seditious thing, given the positions of the people depicted and the manner in which the regent had chosen to portray them. But even so, publishing them on Hai Xing, that is another matter entirely. And since that choice also means that you, a citizen of Dixing, are operating on Hai Xing without official permission, Zhao Yunlan waved a negligent hand. "Well, we all know whose jurisdiction that puts you under." Usually, Shunwei did not bother with petty dramatics. Now, however, he unfolded his power and pushed it out until it filled the entire room, brushing up against the ancient protections woven into the stone. A surge of energy rushed immediately to Zhao Yunlan, curling around his bright familiar presence in joyous devotion. A more deliberately wielded net settled heavily around the regent, oppressive and looming. As ill-advised as his recent literary endeavors had been, at heart, the regent was a pragmatist. He did not fight battles he could not win. In this instance, that meant he accepted Shen Wei's verdict without argument, and then leaped right to flattering and complimenting him and Zhao Yunlan for their handling of the situation. "What inimitable acumen and seamless teamwork!" he declared, with somewhat disturbing vehemence. "The Lord Envoy is a fearsome and imposing adversary, and the Lord Guardian is indeed most ruthless and cunning." Shen Wei would be keeping a much closer eye on the man from now on. Chapter 5 begins with a quote from Hearts Under Siege. The selection is titled, "The Lord General of Dixing." Quote, "Armies of thousands have scattered and fled before me in terror. But the touch of your small, lily-white hand defeats me utterly." End quote. Chapter 5. When Shen Wei teleported home, Zhao Yunlan was ensconced on the couch with a glass of wine and a book. He looked up in surprise, and the softness of his smile effortlessly vanquished all of the day's small worries. "Hey, I wasn't expecting you yet. Did the faculty meeting get canceled?" There was an odd furtiveness to the way Zhao Yunlan shoved his book out of sight between his leg and the cushion, but Shen Wei didn't pay it much mind. It was only when he leaned down to brush his lips against Zhao Yunlan's that he noticed something was amiss. Zhao Yunlan's eyes were slightly reddened. It was hardly noticeable. The redness was no more pronounced than it might have been had he been slicing an onion. But Zhao Yunlan was unlikely to have been slicing an onion and had not been ill that morning. And then there was the telltale hiding of the book. Quick as a striking snake, he snatched up the hardcover Zhao Yunlan had been reading. The suspicion rising in his heart immediately proved correct. An all-too-familiar, gun-wielding, Haixing maiden grinned at him from above garish golden letters, her suitor creeping up from behind. "Zhao Yunlan," he said, and then did not know how to go on. He had not done enough, a realization that made his energy roil in agitation. Shen Wei should not have let the region off so lightly, political expediency or no. How could his oath to better his ways and the donation of his proceeds to charity be a sufficient balance to the harm he had wrought? Even now, his lurid fantasies still had the power to hurt Zhao Yunlan. Zhao Yunlan was frowning at him. Exacting further vengeance from the regent would not help. Shen Wei would have to find a different solution. He crouched before the couch to grasp Zhao Yunlan's hand, his energy immediately twining up his arm without Shen Wei's conscious permission. "Tell me." He did not know what to do, but if there was anything that would make Zhao Yunlan feel better, anything at all. "I have not done enough. Whatever has..." "Shao Wei," Zhao Yunlan said fiercely. "You've done everything and more, as always. There's nothing wrong. I'm just being foolish." The vivid, soothing flow of energy against his did much to calm his fears, as did Zhao Yunlan's teasing grin. "The book's actually... well, okay, it is extremely bad. But By his standards, his writing has improved. Much as he did not wish to question Zhao Yunlan's judgment, Shen Wei found that difficult to believe. He fished the book from the floor where it had fallen, intending to leaf through it to form a quick impression. Almost as soon as he'd picked it up, it fell open to the end of a chapter in the middle of the tale, exactly as though someone had taken an interest in these pages in particular. Zhao Yunlan twitched a little and made a low sound of protest. But Shen Wei had already found the offending paragraphs. Her spirited eyes spat fire as he turned to leave, his cloak flaring out behind him like black wings fashioned from the fabric of night itself. "How can you do this?" she exclaimed, her voice drenched in anguish. "It is an obvious trap. How can you think to sacrifice yourself as though your life holds no worth, when you know well that I... She broke off on a helpless stutter, the immensity of her feelings transfixing her tongue. "I am the High Lord of Dixing, the heir of night, the rightful ruler of the Kingdom of Darkness," he declared, even as he swept her lithe form up in his arms, so that her small, firm breasts pressed tightly against his body. "I well know my worth, yet even better do I know my duty. And most of all, I know my heart. If I must perish to save you, then I will go to my death gladly, and not even you will be able to sway me from my course." The maiden's alluring features crumpled in despair, and she struggled fruitlessly to free herself from his grip, resorting at last to hammering on his manly chest with delicate, lily-white fists. "Then go and die if you must. I shall not shed a single tear for you." For a moment, Shen Wei struggled with the urge to set the book on fire. He prevailed, and instead set it down carefully on the coffee table, next to Zhao Yunlan's forgotten wine. "I must disagree with your assessment, Yunlan," he said then, very steadily meeting Zhao Yunlan's gaze. "It appears he has found a way to descend to even lower standards of quality. Out of everything he's written, this is the most preposterous. Nothing of this kind would ever happen." For a long moment, the unspoken "again" lay heavy in the air between them. Zhao Yunlan's searching look was almost too intense to bear, but Shen Wei welcomed it. He had no wish to hide from Zhao Yunlan. Not anymore. Not ever again. "Well, then," Zhao Yunlan said at last and quirked a small, crooked smile. "Good for you, because one thing's for sure, this delicate fist-hammering business is definitely bullshit. I just knee you in the nuts." When Zhao Yunlan pulled him closer, Shen Wei gladly allowed himself to be tugged onto the couch and into a kiss. Ruthless and cunning, generous and kind, and so much more besides. Truly, Shen Wei did not know how he had gotten so lucky. End.